أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، وصلى اللهم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. ربي أنطقنا بالهدى وألهمنا بالتقوى. السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. I begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no doubt that it's due to His kindness and generosity. He provides for us opportunities such as these where we gather together in remembrance of Him tabaraka wa ta'ala. We continue our discussion regarding the eschatology or life after death from an Islamic or from a Quranic point of view. Last week we discussed barzakh in as much detail that is available to us with regards to ahadith and the Holy Quran, without going too much into ahadith as well. We primarily concentrated on what the Holy Quran had to say about barzakh, and inshallah we will get the true experience once we do cross over and witness the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue now today with the next event or the sign of the Day of Judgment, which is the blowing of the trumpet. The Day of Resurrection itself, yani Yawmul Qiyamah, begins with the blowing of the trumpet. It has a mind of its own. Okay? Yeah? So the Day of Resurrection begins with the blowing of the trumpet. So everything that has happened before this is considered part of the realm of dunya, and now we are beginning or entering the realm of akhirah. The blowing of the trumpet is one of those points or one of those realities that we still don't have complete understanding about. Is it a real trumpet? Yeah. Is it somebody actually blowing into that trumpet? These are the questions that we have, and it doesn't seem fathomable that it will be a real trumpet where somebody's actually blowing into a trumpet, because this type of trumpet then must exist today, or it will exist at one time. However, there are ahadith which actually describe it as being like a real trumpet. So I'll read a particular hadith which describes this particular instrument as a trumpet. It is found in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 6, page 324. An Ali ibn al-Husayn, Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, annahu qal, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, su'ila an nafkhatayn, kam baynahuma, qala ma sha' Allah. He says he was asked about the time between the two blowing of the trumpets. He says this knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma sha Allah. فَقِيلَ لَهُ فَأَخْبِرْنِي يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ يُنْفَخُ فِيهِ. He says, then describe to me, O Prophet of God, how will this trumpet be blown? To which he replies, أَمَّا نَفْخَةُ الْأُولَى فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ إِسْرَافِيلَ فَيَحْبِتُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا وَمَعَهُ سُورٌ. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a command to Israfil to come down to earth, and with him will be a sur. A sur is a trumpet. Yeah. So Imam alayhi salam is actually describing it as, for the most part, like a real trumpet that he will come down with. وَلِسُورٍ رَأْسٌ وَاحِدْ وَطَرَفَانْ. So this sur or this trumpet will have about, you can say like one head, but it will be facing in two directions, basically. So it will have one entry, you can say, but the head, maybe, or I don't know how you can describe it, the part where the sound comes out from, will have two sides. Tarafan. وَبَيْنَ tarafin kulli ras. And then between these two sides, I guess you can say, there will be a head, or there will be where the sound will come out from. وَبَيْنَ كُلِّ ras مِنْهُمَا مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And one side of the head will be facing towards the heavens, while the second side of the head will be facing towards the earth. وَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ نَفْخَةً فَيَخْرُجُ الصَّوْتُ مِنْ طَرَفِ الَّذِي يَلَى الْأَرْضِ فَلَا يَبْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ ذُو رُوحٍ إِلَّا السَّائِقَ وَمَاتٍ. He says, then he will blow into this trumpet that will be facing towards the earth, and the sound will come out, and there will not remain a single soul alive upon this earth. Then the hadith continues and then says, he will blow again, and the second time it will be facing towards the heavens, and nobody will be allowed, nobody will remain in the heavens. And then the only person that will be left then is Israfil. He says, فَلَا يَبْقَى فِي السَّمَوَاتِ ذُو رُوحٍ إِلَّا سَائِقَ وَمَاتْ إِلَّا إِسْرَافِيلِ قَالَ فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ لِإِسْرَافِيلِ يَا إِسْرَافِيلِ مُتْ فَيَمُوتُ إِسْرَافِيلِ. He says, then Allah will look at Israfil and says, Israfil, you too die. And then Israfil will then die. So this is the way the Imam alayhi salam describes this trumpet, like a real trumpet, that it will be blown and there will be nobody left upon this earth after that. However, as we will discuss later today, the chances that this is more of a metaphor, yeah, a trumpet, than it actually being a real trumpet. And the reason why is that we have to understand the logic of how the Quran uses the language to describe things to us, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes our creation, He says, you did not know anything when I created you, and then you used your eyesight and your hearing to learn. Therefore, the only way we can understand something is if we can draw a parallel to it or draw a similarity to it. So for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the kitab that we will be talking about next week, He describes a kitab because a kitab, a book, is used for records, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that it will be a book, like the type of a book. Likewise, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes heaven and describes it as a lush garden with rivers flowing through it and palm trees, it is that language which attracted the Arabs of that time. These guys were living in the desert. They valued shade. They valued, for example, water and rivers. So this was how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used language to attract them towards Him. Likewise, I believe that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning a trumpet, even though there are hadith like this that are present, likely it is more of a metaphor. Now, I could be wrong. We'll all find out one day, inshallah. But it is likely more of a metaphor. However, what is required from all of us is to have faith in it, that there will be an event like this that will take place, even though we can't fully comprehend the realities of it. Yeah, go ahead, yeah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Okay. Yeah. All right. What we do know when we look at what the Quran, the Holy Quran, describes, is that the blowing of the trumpet will be an event that will catch everyone by surprise. Even the people in the heaven will be caught by surprise as far as the blowing of the trumpet is concerned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي لَا يُجَلِّيهَا لِوَقْتِهَا إِلَّا هُوَ ثَقُلَتْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا تَأْتِيكُمْ إِلَّا بَغْتَةً. So He says, they ask you about the hour, when will it take place? Say, the knowledge of it is only with my Lord, but He shall manifest it at its time, and it is to be a momentous event in the heavens and the earth, and it will not come on you but of a sudden. So there will be nobody who will really be aware that this event will take place. And when it does take place, like the Holy Quran describes, it will shock people. Yeah, so whether it is the sound which kills people or puts them to sleep, or it is the shock that has that effect, there is not too much information on that. Whatever it is, that it will be an event that will end all of existence that is taking place right now upon earth. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as when He created the world with haqq, with the truth, manifesting His name of Muhyi, on that day He will bring about resurrection and end all of creation by haqq. Yeah, this is very important, this statement of haq, or by the truth, by manifesting his name of Al-Mumit. These two names, Al-Muhi and Al-Mumit, are under God's power, the one who gives life and the one who gives death, you can say. So this is going to be manifested by that sifat, or that by attribute, or that by that attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that day it will become evident to all that his is the kingdom and authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he it is who created the heavens and the earth with truth. And on the day he says, be it is. His word is the truth and his is the kingdom. On the day when the trumpet shall be blown, the knower of the unseen and the seen, he is the wise, the aware. Obviously, manifestation of the kingdomship or the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will already be made aware to those who have already died, right? We talked about that as death, is that on the, when people die, there will be no doubt that Allah has the authority. Even the non-believers will believe on that day. So this may be referring to the people who are still left on earth, or a greater understanding of the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be made apparent or aware to everybody at that time. We know that there will be two blowings of the trumpet. The first blowing of the trumpet, or the Quran describes these two blowing of the trumpets when Allah says, وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَسَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. And the trumpet shall be blown, so all those that are in the heavens and all those that are in the earth shall swoon. The word that constantly appears is sa'iqa. Sa'iqa is a swoon. Swoon means an unconsciousness. Right? So the Holy Quran describes the effect of that blowing of the trumpet as an unconsciousness that will befall people. However, most Mufassirun say that this unconsciousness or this swooning, sa'iqa, is just another word for death. Yeah, that they will all perish, they will all die at that time. Except such as Allah pleases. Then it shall be blown again, then lo, they shall stand up awaiting. So what this verse describes is that there will be two blowing of the trumpets. One that will end life, one that will resurrect life or bring it back again. As far as the first blowing of the trumpet is concerned, the verse that we just read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَسَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. And the trumpet shall be blown, so all those that are in the heavens and the earth shall swoon, except such as Allah pleases. We know that the first trumpet is to be blown by Israfil, right? That he will be the one who will blow that trumpet, which will end all of creation. However, it is interesting is that those that are still on earth, because obviously there will be people who are still alive on earth when this happens, they shall die and there will be no barzakh for them. We talked about this last week, that the people who still happen to be alive will not have to go through this intermediate realm of barzakh. They will simply swoon or die on their place on earth, wherever they are. Those in barzakh will also die. Those in the where the Quran describes as heavens, it is describing maybe those in the gardens of barzakh, for example, they will too die. So there will not be a creation except that their life or their life will come to an end. Now, whether these people are lucky that they don't have to go through the realm of barzakh, Allahu a'lam. Yeah, I don't know how we consider that. But this is how their end will come to place. The second blowing of the trumpet resurrects all of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعْثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ إِنْ كَانَتْ إِلَّا سَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. We recite this, mashallah, every Thursday. Yeah? And the reason we recite This particular surah, it is known in different ways as the heart of the Quran, because it talks about resurrection in a very beautiful manner, and it should instill a little bit of fear within us. Allah says, "And the trumpet shall be blown, when lo, from their graves they shall hasten to their Lord. They shall say, Oh woe to us, who has raised us from our sleeping place?" This is what the Beneficent Allah promised, and the messengers told the truth. There would not but a single cry, when lo, they shall be all brought before us. So this day no soul shall be dealt with unjustly at the least, and you shall not be rewarded aught but what you did. So the second blowing of the trumpet resurrects creation, or brings everything back to life. What is very interesting is that the Quran provides different names to the blowing of the trumpet. There are about five different ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran uses different terminology for the same exact event. Of course, the one that's most popular is when nufikha fi sur, and when the trumpet is blown. However, the Quran uses different terminologies, in my opinion, to give us a more complete picture, maybe, or to show us that we really don't have an understanding of the blowing of the trumpet. This is why different names are used to describe that particular event. The first name that is used is Sayha. Sayha is a loud cry. Okay? And again, it comes from Surah Yasin, the one we just recited. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا سَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا. Yeah, he says, and they say, when will this promise be fulfilled? Should you be truthful? They do not wait but a single cry that would seize them as they wrangle. Then they will not be able to make any bequests, nor will they return to their families. So this sayha, this particular way that the sayha is used, is replacing the blowing of the trumpet. However, it is particularly referring to the first blowing of the trumpet. Right, Sayha is also used to refer to the second blowing of the trumpet. Out of all of the different ways God uses a different word to describe the blowing of the trumpet, Sayha is the only one that is used to describe both blowings, while the other terminologies are used primarily for the second blowing of the trumpet. The second blowing is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْتَمِعْ يَوْمَ يُنَادِ الْمُنَادِ مِنْ مَكَانٍ قَرِيبٍ يَوْمَ يَسْمَعُونَ السَّيْحَةَ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْخُرُوجِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And be on the alert for the day when the caller calls from a close quarter, the day when they hear the cry in all truth. That is the day of rising from the dead. So from that context, we understand then that sayha that is being referred to is the second blowing of the trumpet. So this is the first way, or a different name that is used for the blowing of the trumpet. Another name that is used is sakha. Sakha is a deafening cry. Yeah. So the first one is a loud cry. The second one is a deafening cry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ السَّاخَّةِ يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ وَلِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. So when the deafening cry comes, the day when a man will evade his brother, his mother and his father, his spouse and his sons, that day each of them will have a task to keep them preoccupied. Obviously, from the context of the verse, we know that this is referring to the second blowing of the trumpet, because this description that God is mentioning is one of the descriptions about the day of Qiyamah, when everybody will run away from one another and nobody will want to be with one another because of their own preoccupation. The third way the Quran describes it is az-zajra. Az-zajra is a shout. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ. Yet it will only be a single shout, and behold, they will be awake. Obviously, from this we understand it is also referring to the second blowing of the trumpet. The other way the Quran describes it is an-naqr. An-naqr is another term for a trumpet, basically. Yeah, so it is not sur, but this is another way in which the trumpet is described. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ فَذَلِكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ غَيْرُ يَسِيرٌ. When the trumpet will be sounded, that day will be a day of hardship, not at all easy for the faithless. And then the next way it is described is as a rajifa. A rajifa is a quaking. Like an earthquake, like a rumbling that will take place, right? Ar-rajifa war-radifa. The Quran uses these two terms together. فَإِذَا نُفِرَ يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَ قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاجِفَ أَبْصَارُهَا خَاشِعَ. The day on which the quaking one shall quake, what must happen after it shall follow it. So the quaking is the rajifa, what must happen afterwards is the radifa. So radifa is that event that will happen after a rajifa. And most of the mufassirun say that the rajifa is describing the first blowing, while radifa is describing the second blowing which will come after that. Okay, so these are some of the ways or the different ways in which the Quran describes the blowing of the trumpet. Again, from my understanding about this is that the fact that this particular event has been described in different expressions, it points to us to a couple of very important realities. The first one being that it is entirely unknown, how this event will take place, in which way, in which context, or what will the tool or the mechanism be that will make this event come through. Also, it will be something that will happen all of a sudden, and this event will be frightful, whatever it is. Yeah, whether it is a loud cry, a deafening cry, a quaking, whatever this event that will come to pass will be something which will put the fear in man, really. Yeah, and really, in a way, it will be so fearful, it will literally put us in a swoon, unconsciousness, whether that is death or really passing out or whatever it is, however God manifests that, it will be that type of reality. The next question we ask then is, how much time will pass between the two blowing of the trumpets? This is something we don't know whatsoever. Yeah, we don't know whatsoever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. We read this verse earlier. قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. He says, they question you concerning the Lord, concerning the hour, when will it set in? Say, its knowledge is only with my Lord, none except Him shall manifest it at its time. Likewise, that hadith that I read from Bihar earlier, where our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, when he was asked, su'ila anin nafkhatain kam baynahuma, how much time will there be between these two blowing of the trumpets? He says, mashallah, whatever God wishes for it to be, it will be. So this is a knowledge really that nobody has. And this is something which belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. What is interesting, and the question which is more important, is what will happen between the two blowing of the trumpets, right? The time factor really doesn't matter. What's important is what will be happening or taking place between these two blowing of the trumpets. This pause, as it is described or that is mentioned, is very crucial to the evolution of human beings. Okay, there will be a change that will happen to the world, to the environment, a very critical and profound change that no human being would be able to handle. This is the reason why God will first put them in a state of unconsciousness or death. Right? Because if a soul was alive at that time, it would not be able to handle the changes that will be taking place. We will come back to an earth that will be changed altogether, a higher level of life to everything. Everything will speak to us now. We've always been told that things are alive around us, right? We call Earth Mother Earth, right? And Mother Earth meaning that it is alive. And on this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it the ability to speak. It will give it the ability to confess and to really be a witness against us on what we did on it, right? The blood that was shed. Oftentimes, I even think on the amount we litter, right, upon this earth. I think that they will take us to task on it. And this is something which is something we really need to be cognizant about, that everything around us, everything, all of our actions have consequences, no matter how small these actions are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He is describing the earth speaking, he says in Surah Al-Zilzal, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. When the earth is rocked with a terrible quake and the earth discharges her burdens and man says, what is the matter with her? On that day she will relate her chronicle, she will relate her stories, right? So this is an example where God is actually saying or describing to us the power that He will give to the earth for it to tell its particular story. So this is one example from the Holy Quran which describes what will take place. Another example is from Surah Ibrahim, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضُ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ وَبَرَزُ اللَّهِ الْوَاحِدَ الْقَهَّارِ. He says, on the day when the earth shall be changed into a different earth. It's very clear in the Quran that this event will take place, right? The earth will change into a different earth, and the heavens will change into a different heaven, and they shall come forth before Allah, the One, the Supreme. And then you will see the guilty on that day linked together in chains, their shirts made of tar and the fire covering their faces, that Allah may reward or recompense each soul according to what it has earned. Surely Allah is swift in reckoning. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. In another verse, Allah describes the mountains being removed. He says, and they ask you about the mountains. Say, my Lord will carry them away from the roots. Then leave it a plain, smooth level. You shall not therein see any crookedness or unevenness. All of these changes which God has described in the Holy Quran, and there are more examples than this. There are many examples, in fact, describing how the sky will be rolled and how the sea will be on fire. And all of these examples are there in the Holy Quran, describing the monumentous event that will take place leading to our resurrection. Right? So again, this is between the two blowing of the trumpets. We are not yet alive to see all of these changes. And again, because maybe we cannot handle to see these type of changes happening. So then the next question is, what will happen after the second blowing of the trumpet? Right? So we've covered first blowing, second blowing, what will happen between the two. Now we discuss what will happen after the second blowing of the trumpet. Here we see a lot of description about Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is now Yawm al-Qiyamah in full light, basically. We're all there. So the first thing that will happen is that we will be removed from our graves. However, there will be no life that has been attached to it yet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. He says, when the heaven is split open and obeys its Lord as it should, and when the earth is stretched and casts forth what is in it and becomes empty and obeys its Lord as it should. So this earth that is casting forth what is in it is us, right? Those who have been buried in it, the rights of people that have been buried in it, all of these things will be almost spit out. Like the other verses of the Quran says, like the Zilzal verses, that it will almost vomit out its burdens, right? So we are the burdens, right? Especially if we have done zulm upon this earth, we are that definition of a burden on it. So here Allah is simply describing how the human beings or we will be spit out from the particular earth, but we will lie basically lifeless upon this realm. What's not been mentioned here is when we talked about between the two blowing of the trumpets, this is when our new bodies will be given to us as well, that which will be able to handle the environmental and atmospherical changes that have taken place for Yawmul Qiyamah. Each time we go from one realm to a different realm, we've been provided with a different body. A body which is similar to the body that we have, right? So much so that our Imam alayhi salam says that when somebody meets you, they will recognize you based on how you looked upon earth. But now again a third body will be given, which will be suitable for the environment in Qiyamah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes new life being added back to these human beings. And he says, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ. Again, these are all descriptions of the events that will take place. وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. When the sun is covered and when the stars darken and when the mountains are made to pass away and when the camels are left unattended and when the wild animals are made to go forth and when the seas are set on fire and when souls are united, زُوِّجَتْ. Yeah. So this is now describing the souls and the bodies once again given life, or the souls being given life, and we are now facing that ultimate scare. Yeah, I mean, picture this environment. It's almost like from the movies how God has described it, a very dark day, a very doomsday kind of scenario. And again, this is where some of those people, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in Surah Yasin, the verse that we quoted earlier, when they will be resurrected, they will say, Ya waylana man ba'athana min marqadina. Yeah, he says, woe be to us. Who resurrected us from where we were lying? Automatically, a fear will set in. This fear is described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very beautiful way in the Quran and in a lot of detail. The condition of people on the day of resurrection. And this is what inshallah we'll be discussing. God describes on this particular day that some people will be raised blind. And the verses are very beautiful when he says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِهِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةٌ ضَنْكَاهُ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَعْتَتْكَمْ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. And whoever turns away from my reminder, his shall be a straightened life, and we will raise him on the day of resurrection blind. He shall say, My Lord, why have you raised me blind when I was seeing one indeed? He will say, so it is, our signs came to you, but you forgot them, and thus you will be forgotten today. And whoever is blind in this earth, he shall also be blind in the hereafter, and even more astray from the world. Obviously, the blindness that is being referred to in dunya is the blindness of insight, not the blindness of sight. But on this day, it is almost like we take it for face value. On that day, insight really doesn't matter anymore. This is the day of reward. This is the day when things will be manifested. So these people will be blind walking in darkness, yeah, like a double blind. Yeah, you know, we say nurun ala nur. This is a zulumat ala zulumat, basically. Yeah, darkness upon darkness, completely lost upon this particular day. Another reality that God paints about the day of judgment is that no one will help one another on that day. Yeah, I'm guaranteed. Family ties on this day does not matter anymore. And the verses of the Quran are very, very, in my opinion, very, very scary when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this day. Oftentimes we feel, you know, right, when I ponder, I'll say, no, I won't be like that. But, you know, it's not up to us that day, really. We'll have so much on our plate on that particular day that it doesn't matter. And this is why we're each really lay our own beds, yeah, make our own beds, really, and we have to lay in it. This is a very important reality that we have to understand, that in the end, we're going to be held accountable for what we do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this in very numerous verses, and we'll go through some of them. فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. So when the trumpet is blown, there shall be no ties of relationship between them on that day, nor shall they ask of each other. Subhanallah. Yeah? You will not ask about your son. You will not ask about your mother on that day. Ties have been cut off from that time. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ السَّاخَّةِ يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. But when the deafening cry comes at the day when a man shall fly from his brother and his mother and his father and his spouse and his son, every man of them shall on that day have an affair which will occupy him. There's no istithna, there is no exception. Every man, God says, on that day will have something that they will be occupied with. Or every woman on that day will have something that they will be occupied with. We'll all need something on that day, and we'll all be chasing something on that day. But imagine everybody doing that exact same thing. And everybody has a greater problem that they have to worry about. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further continues and He says, on the day when the heaven shall be as molten copper and the mountains shall be as tufts of wool, and friends shall not ask a friend, though they shall be made to see each other. The guilty one would fain redeem himself from the chastisement of that day by sacrificing his children and his wife and his brother and the nearest of his kinsfolk who gave him shelter and all those that are in the earth, wishing then that this might deliver him. Right? It's a very poetic verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes وَلَا يَسْأَلُ حَمِيمٌ حَمِيمًا يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ يُوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِي وَمَنْ فِي الْعَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ. But they will not deliver him. Again, like when you ponder over this, it should, when we have this type of knowledge at our hands, this type of information or this type of warning from God should really scare us straight. Yeah? But I wonder what it is that doesn't. The fear doesn't last, right? It will be forgotten the time I leave this door for me. Yeah, maybe it will remember for you, but I wonder what it is that we have not been scared straight. And this is basically what God is trying to do, is scare us straight. To say, look, this day has come, change the direction or the course of your life that you are leading now. Another interesting point about this particular day is that the good and the evil will clearly be made visible from the faces of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Holy Quran, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَاسِرَةٌ تَظُنُّ أَن يُفْعَلَ بِهَا فَاقِرَةٌ. Some faces on that day shall be bright, looking to their Lord, and other faces on that day shall be gloomy, knowing that there will be made to befall them some great calamity. This is before hisab has taken place, right? Before accounting has taken place, before they have met God, liqa Allah, before that has taken place, their faces will have the signs of their happiness or their gloom. Another verse which says similar to that, many faces on that day shall be bright, laughing, joyous, and many faces on that day shall be dust, darkness shall cover them. These are they who are unbelievers, the wicked. This hints to a very important point, and we talked about this in the realm of barzakh as well, when we said that for the majority of the people, it will almost be like a window is opened up for them in the grave, describing to them their final destination. So for those whose window will lead open, again, this is just a figurative, yeah? If you don't see a window when you go into the grave, don't blame me. Yeah, but this is just a figurative understanding that we have, telling us that our final destination will be known to us, right? Throughout our journey, from the moment we die, the final destination will be known to us. But that does not mean that it will be an easy journey. It could be a very steep and very difficult journey for us. But knowing my final destination, then it will not be hard. Yeah, like that in life, right? Or it will be hard, but it will be bearable. right? In life is similar, right? When you know that I'm going to reach that destination, and if you are confident that that's going to be there for you, then it doesn't matter what you face, the difficulties you face. Same thing for us as believers, right? We have been promised Jannah, promised by God. So it doesn't matter the difficulties we face in life. This is what we've been told. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Put your head down, keep going, and whatever you face, handle it, bear it, because you know that in the final result will be good for you. For those who know that their final destination is hellfire, really for them the azab has started the moment they have been told, right? They know. So you can imagine these people whose faces are dark, and these are the unbelievers and dust on them. They're not walking too fast, yeah. They're taking very small steps going to this final destination, and I think that this is the Jahannam in its way has already begun for them. The torture has already begun for them, more in an emotional level here than a physical level per se, which is how it is for those of us who have sinned, right? Those of us who have sinned and God has accepted our tawbah, we have many numerous opportunities for God to accept our tawbah. Laylatul Qadr, Plains of Arafah, all of these things, or all of these moments, God has almost guaranteed that He will accept our sins. Yet, for the sinful, they live with an emotional torture till the day they die, yeah? Knowing that they have erred and they have gone against God. That should be a form of punishment in itself, which burdens sinful people until they die, right? And then, inshallah, they are faced with reward or good thoughts and good gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another reality about what will happen after the second blowing of the trumpet is that there will be a separation between the good and the evil. Literally, a physical separation will be created between them. And here is where there is a beautiful set of verses from Suratul Hadid, Surah number 57, verses 12 through 16, which describe this event of or separation between the good and the evil. And again, if we really pondered over this, and I advise this to myself before I advise you, it should really awaken us, you know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَيْمَانِهِمْ بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمَ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. On that day you will see the faithful men and the faithful women, their light running before them and on their right hand, good news for you today. Gardens beneath which rivers flow to abide therein. That is the grand achievement. The right hand is mentioned, we will discuss this next week, that if you are good, your kitab will be handed to you in your right hand. If you are bad, it will be handed to you in certain verses behind your back or on your left hand. Obviously, metaphorically, right representing good, left representing bad. But there are so many signs before one even reaches heaven or hell where you know your final destination. And this is, I think, really beautiful what God has said. On that day when the hypocritical men and the hypocritical women, so notice God begins by talking about the light of those who are believers. Then He talks about those who are munafiqeen. On that day when the hypocritical men and the hypocritical women will say to those who believe, wait for us, yeah, so that we may have light from your light. Subhanallah. This is a very beautiful set of verses by God. And it shall be said to them, turn back and seek a light. Yeah, what a beautiful answer by the believers. Yeah, go find your own light. And this is something which is nothing wrong with it anymore. Yeah, in life we will help people. We will be kind to people. When we cross over, it is nafsa nafsi. Yeah, you don't help anybody, and you build this type of sternness with those people who are not going to heaven. Yeah, and there is nothing wrong with this whatsoever. Right? We have earned Jannah, they have earned Jahannam. Therefore, there is no need to be kind to those people who are going to Jahannam anymore, whoever they are. Yeah, family, friends, it doesn't matter, right? As we said, God says there is no more relationship between you anymore, right? So we have to remember that all of this will happen through the justice of God, right? So if we are confident in the justice of God, we will not mind saying to these people, go get your own light. I'm not sharing my light with you on this day. Yeah. And again, this is something we've earned. And that's something that they've earned. And we look forward to this day, inshallah. And then we will say, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then separation would be brought about between them with a wall having a door in it. This is the actual separation that will take place. God describes a wall coming down between the believers and between the hypocrites with a door in it. As for those inside of it, there shall be mercy in it. As for those outside of it, before it, there shall be punishment. So now a physical separation will separate those who are good and evil. Then they will cry out. Again, so this is happening behind the door. Yeah. So they are crying out to the believers, were we not with you? The verse says, "Yunadunahum, alam nakun ma'akum." Were we not with you? This "with you" is not referring to necessarily aqidah or religion. Yeah, it is referring to people that we had acquaintances with in the world. Our neighbors, for example. People that we may have dormed with, for example, or shared an apartment with, people who are our co-workers for a long time, they shall be surprised and they shall say, wait a minute, we were together, were we not with you? How come today there is now a separation between us? And they will say, yes, but you caused yourselves to fall into temptation, and you waited and doubted, and vain desires deceived you till the threatened punishment of Allah came, while the deceiver deceived you about Allah. Hatta jaa amrullah wa gharrakum billahil gharur. This deceiving, this ghurur, I've been meaning to have like a few series lectures on what is ghurur, because it appears in the Quran numerous times about that which will deceive us from reality. And inshallah, I'll try to remember next time I'm preparing to talk about this subject, because I think it's very important that we know that which is deceiving us. And I think that's sometimes where the confusion lies, is we don't know that which is deceiving us and that which is good for us. Then the verse continues, so today ransom shall not be accepted from you, nor from those who disbelieved. Your abode is the fire, it is your friend, and evil is the resort. Very beautiful series of conversation and dialogue that will take place between the mu'mineen and the munafiqeen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ يَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. After describing this series of events, God is basically, it's like, you know, He's sitting us down. He's saying, has it not yet come time for you to believe now? Yeah? Is it not time now that you stop these transgressions that you are doing? And it is not time that your heart should be humble for the remembrance of God and what has come down of the truth. And that they should not be like those who were given the book before, but the time became prolonged for them, so their hearts hardened, and most of them are transgressors. It's a very beautiful and a powerful verse by God, reminding us of what the reality is that is about to come. I think these particular verses about what will happen after the second blowing of the trumpet are the most descriptive that we have. Death is pretty descriptive. Barzakh is not very descriptive. We almost have to connect the dots when it comes to Barzakh, right? But this, you can't have better description than what God is using here. This whole series of events describing the people and what will happen. I want to conclude with the exceptions, all right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verse that we recited about this blowing of the trumpets, the two blowing of the trumpets, He says that there will be a certain group of people who will not perish, Yeah. He says, وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَسَائِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Yeah. He says, and the trumpet will be blown, and whoever is in the heavens will swoon, and whoever is on the earth, except whomever Allah wishes. Who are these people? Yeah. Whomever Allah wishes. These are the exceptions. Now, what does these exceptions mean? Does it mean that they will not die by the first blowing of the trumpet? And we will discuss that. But it is a very interesting group of people who will be saved from this type of shock, basically, or swooning. So we come to the Quran to explain to us who these group of people are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever brings man ja'a bil hasana falahu khayrun minha wa hum min faza'in yawma idhin aminun. Right? Whoever brings virtue, hasana, goodness, shall receive a reward better than it, and they shall be secure from terror on that day. Right? Now obviously it could be meaning terror on the day of judgment. Right? But we know that God has said there will be a group of people who will not be affected by the blowing of the trumpet. This is the closest verse that we have to describe to us who these people will be. Those who bring hasana, those who bring good deeds, who bring virtue. Now, the question is, what type of virtue? Yeah? Most people bring virtue, right? Even a non-believer will do good in their lives, whether it is a few amounts of good, or people like us who will have much good but will have a little bit of bad as well with us. Obviously, it's not referring to us. That's not the type of people God is talking about, because that would mean nobody would die with the blowing of the trumpet. So we're talking about a special group of people who will be saved from this punishment. And the verse that we have is from Surah number 37, verses 127 and 128. I don't think it's part of the PowerPoint anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّهُمْ لَمُحْضَرُونَ إِلَّا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Yeah? إِلَّا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. So indeed, they will be arraigned before Him. Yani people will be taken to task by God, except for Allah's exclusive servants. Yeah? So when we're talking about the مُخْلَصِينَ, we're talking about a group of people who have been really protected by God. Really protected by God. And we've spent, I think, a whole series of lectures here, maybe five or six series of lectures here, talking about who the mukhlaseen are. It is different than a mukhlis. A mukhlis is one who is striving to be sincere. A mukhlas is one who has already reached sincerity through the help of God. One cannot become a mukhlas except if God sees you as a mukhlis. Yeah? You are with me? You have to be a mukhlis first for God to raise you to be a mukhlas. And these are that group of people whom even shaitan has said that he cannot tempt. Allah says about them, قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمْ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. When shaitan was kicked out of heaven, he says, I shall tempt all of them except for your most sincere servants, your mukhlaseen. So here is likely the best understanding we have. So this would probably be the anbiya. This would probably be the awsiya, the awliya. Not many people will fall into this category of being exempt from that blowing of the trumpet. However, there are other verses of the Quran which say that everybody will die. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah number 39, verses 30 and 31, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ تَخْتَصِمُونَ. You will indeed die, and they too will die indeed. Meaning that there will be nobody left. Yeah, everybody is going to die. And then on the day of resurrection, you will indeed contend before your Lord. So then how do we reconcile these two verses? One being that God is saying there will be certain people who will be saved, and while other verses saying that everybody will die. Mufassirun give two possibilities. And it comes back to the verse when that's the 39:68. وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَالسَّائِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And the trumpet will be blown, and whoever is in the heavens will swoon. Again, we come back to this word سَائِقَ. The Mufassirun say that the سَائِقَ, the meaning of سَائِقَ, can have two possibilities. Okay, the first possibility of this swooning is that of fear and terror. Yeah, that it is this type of shock that people will have simply out of fear and terror. Obviously, saiqa does not mean that, but it is something that can be attributed to it based on the event that will take place. Remember, the event is a loud scream, a quaking, all of these which bring about a certain sense of fear. So the Mufassirun say that if we take saiqa to mean terror and fear, then what we are saying is that these few will be saved from that terror and that fear. Yeah? That when God says that whoever is in the heavens and earth will swoon, yani be terrified and fear, except for whom Allah wishes. So these few, these mukhlaseen, will be saved from this fear and this terror on that day. However, he says that based on that other verse where we say that everybody will die, if we are to take sa'iqa by its true meaning of fainting or swooning or death, yeah, what God is saying is here is that they will not die by the blowing of the trumpet. God will save them from that, but He will still take their life by another cause. Yeah, this is the best way to justify those two verses together, right? That everybody will die, but because God holds them so dearly, He will not subject them to the common punishment or the common way of death that everybody will face. Rather, He will exclude them from that, but they too will die by another cause, which maybe God's mercy will demonstrate and will carry out. Okay, so this is the blowing of the trumpet and how the Quran has described it. What is interesting again is that it is very vivid description, yet we are not certain at what kind of blowing of the trumpet it will be. Next week, inshallah, we are discussing the book of records and the incarnation of our actions. How our actions will be manifested in reality. The Quran is very descriptive about that as well. And from that, there are two scenarios that come about, one of takfir and one of ihbat, which one is a form of mercy and one is not, which will inshallah be part of the lecture or the class next week, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad. وعلى آله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد